Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building something small that makes a huge difference in a drum and bass drop, an old-school ride groove that behaves like a real roller tactic, not just a cymbal loop, not just top-end decoration. We're talking about a ride that pushes the track forward, supports the snare, and gives the whole section that rolling, urgent energy without getting in the way. That matters because in D&B, the ride can easily wreck the mix if it is too loud, too bright, or too static. But when it's done right, it adds motion, attitude, and size. It makes the track feel like it is leaning forward, especially in rollers, jungle-tinged cuts, darker dance-floor tunes, and stripped-back drops, where every element has to earn its place. So the goal here is simple. We want a ride groove that sits behind the snare instead of fighting it, stays stable in mono, gives us forward motion, and can actually work inside an arrangement, not just as a loop that sounds cool for four bars. Start by setting up a clean drum context. You need kick, snare, and ideally a break layer or some kind of tops running underneath. If the drum pocket is not honest, the ride will lie to you. Put the ride on its own track, separate from everything else, so you can shape it properly. If you are using a sample, drag in a ride symbol and place it on the grid. If you are using a layered or synthesized ride texture, keep that on a separate track too. Now loop just one bar and listen with the kick and snare. This is important. If the ride already feels too loud in that small context, it is absolutely going to become too much once the bass and full drums come in. Keep your ears honest from the start. Now choose the flavor of the ride. You've got two useful directions. The first is the classic old-school splashy ride. Brighter, more open, more wash, maybe a little bell or shimmer in there. This gives you that jungle and old-school sheen, and it works really well if your drums are sparse and you want the top end to feel bigger. The second is a darker, shorter ride tick. This one is tighter, drier, and more controlled. It has less tail, so it fits better in heavy rollers and minimal drops where the bass line needs room to breathe. If you're newer to this, the brighter one is easier to hear immediately, but the tighter one is often easier to keep clean in a modern mix. What you want to listen for here is very simple. Does the ride add a glassy halo around the groove, or dry urgent pulse? If it sounds like white noise sitting on top of the drums, it is already too bright or too wide. Next, program the core pattern. A very good starting point is a repeating 8th note or 16th note feel that keeps the track moving forward. For old school roller energy, try putting the ride on every 8th first, then add a few little 16th pickups at the end of every 2 bars. If the groove gets crowded, leave a small gap around the snare moment. That space is part of the feel. Velocity matters too. Don't hit every note with the same force. Give the first hit of each bar a little more weight, soften the repeated hits, and then add one or two stronger accents before a phrase change. That subtle movement is what keeps it human. If you are working with auto, use clip gain or manual clip editing to create the same effect. The goal is not random chaos. The goal is a looping push that feels like it has intent. Now here's the part that really makes it sound like D&B instead of a generic cymbal loop. Shape the timing against the snare pocket. Keep most of the ride tight to the grid, but move a few accents just a touch earlier or later. Not sloppy, just alive. Why this works in D&B is because the snare is a structural landmark. It is the backbeat anchor. The ride should lean around that anchor, not step on it. When the snare lands, the ride should make it feel bigger, not smaller. What to listen for here is the snare crack. If the snare starts losing authority, the ride is probably too busy, too loud, or sitting in the same upper mid space. Your ride should support the backbeat, not compete with it. Now let's control the tone with a simple stock Ableton chain. Keep it clean. Keep it intentional. Start with EQ8. High pass the ride somewhere around 200 to 400 Hz so you clear out low junk. If it is harsh, dip a little around the 3 to 6K Hz area. If the top is too fizzy, gently lower the shelf above 10K Hz. Then add saturator, but keep it modest. Just a little drive is enough. You are using it to thicken the ride and soften brittle peaks, not to turn it into hash. If it starts sounding crunchy in a bad way, back off. After that, use a compressor or glue compressor very lightly if needed. You're only aiming for a bit of peak control. A couple dB of gain reduction is usually plenty. A slowish attack can keep the transient alive, while a medium release helps it breathe. Then use utility. This is where you decide how wide the ride should be. For a lot of heavier D&B, keeping it mostly centered is the cleanest move. It keeps the groove tight and monosafe. If your track is more open or jungle influenced, a little controlled width can work. but don't just leave it huge because stereo sounds exciting in solo. In a club, mono compatibility matters. What to listen for in this stage is whether the ride still feels musical after processing. If it sounds thin, harsh, or facey, something is off. Sometimes the best move is not more processing. Sometimes it is just fewer notes or a better sample. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where a roller ride becomes useful instead of repetitive. A good ride part should not stay exactly the same for 64 bars. Add small changes every 4 or 8 bars. Maybe mute the first half bar at the start of a new phrase. Maybe add one extra pickup before bar 8 or bar 16. Maybe bring the brightness up slightly before a drop return. Those tiny changes create section language, and that is a huge part of how DNB moves. You can think about it like this. First, the drums establish the pocket. Then the ride enters in a restrained way. Then it becomes the main top motion. Then, before a switch up or a new phrase, it changes density or brightness so the listener feels the next section arriving. That is why this works so well in rollers. The ride is not just top end, it is a phrase marker. It tells the listener where they are in the track without needing big fills every bar. Now bring in the full context. Add the sub, the main bass, and any break layer you're using. This is the real test. Don't judge the ride in isolation. A cymbal can sound pristine solo and still wreck the pocket once the bass returns. Listen for two things. First, the bass line should still feel like the biggest moving object in the low end. Second, the snare should remain the clearest transient in the groove. If the ride masks the snare crack, reduce that upper mid area a little or lower the ride by a dB or two. If the top end feels too sharp overall, soften the shelf or reduce saturator drive. This is the key mindset in DNB mixing. The ride is a supporting brightness element. It should help the track feel faster and more expensive, but not steal the spotlight from the drum and bass engine. A really useful habit is to mute the ride every 4 bars while you listen. If the groove collapses completely, the ride is carrying too much of the section. If almost nothing changes, it may be too quiet or too static to matter. That quick check tells you a lot. If the groove is working, commit it. Freeze and flatten, or resample it to audio. This makes editing easier and stops you from endlessly tweaking the same loop. Once it's printed, you can cut tiny spaces, reverse a hit into a transition, shorten a tail, or create a quick fill without constantly messing with the MIDI or original sample. And here's a workflow tip that really helps. Version the clips early. Make one version that is more open and one that is more controlled. Name them by function, not by sample number. Something like drop a push, drop B control, lift version. That keeps your session moving like an arrangement, not a sample browser. When you place the ride in the track, think like a DJ. Leave enough clean space in the intro and outro so the tune can mix well. In the drop, maybe let the ride come in after the first 4 or 8 bars instead of hitting full force immediately. In the second drop, don't just repeat the same ride louder. Give it a reason to exist. Maybe one extra pickup. Maybe a slightly drier tone. Maybe a little more width. That way the second pass feels like an evolution, not a copy. For darker or heavier DNB, a slightly less bright ride often sounds more expensive. That might sound backwards at first, but it's true. If the ride is too shiny, it fights the air around the snare and bass. If it's controlled, it creates tension instead of glare. That's a very powerful move. What to listen for now is whether the whole track feels like it is leaning forward. If the snare is clear, the bass is solid, and the ride is adding movement without sounding like constant white noise, you've got it. So here's the recap. Build the ride against a reedle drum pocket. Choose whether you want an open old-school splash or a tighter, darker tick. Program a repeating pattern with subtle velocity changes. Nudge a few hits around the snare pocket so it breathes. Use a simple Ableton chain with EQ8. Saturator, light compression, and utility. Keep the ride mostly mono safe unless stereo width is really serving the track. Then vary it slightly across phrases so it feels like part of the arrangement, not a static loop. If it makes the track feel faster, darker, and more alive while the snare stays dominant and the bass stays powerful, you're on the right path. Now take the 4-bar practice exercise and build one usable roller ride that works in a real drop. Then push it further into the 16-bar challenge. Give it one density change, one tone change, and one alternate version for the next phrase. Keep it clean, keep it focused, and trust the groove. That's the roll, that's the tactic, and that's how you make a ride actually earn its place in drum and bass.